the depths of Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, a pissed off liberal named Bart Cop, and he brings you Bart Cop Radio.
Money!
Okay, let's talk about credit cards and this crazy bankruptcy bill that Bush and the Republicans are pushing through, and the Democrats, once again, half of them have gone to sleep because they're too scared to face the world, and the other half are in cahoots with the illegitimate bastard. So we've got a big mess on our hands. Let's talk about this just for a couple seconds. The rebuttal on today's U.S. Whore Today, the credit card companies are saying millions of Americans use credit cards every day to buy gas, charge airline tickets, yak, 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 we know all that's stupid. Credit cards allow us to carry less cash and purchase services down the street or around the world. For this convenience, most of us pay very little, often nothing. What a great benefit for American consumers. What he's not telling you is if you're wealthy and you have enough money every month to pay your bill in total, then sure, this is a great deal. But the credit companies didn't get into business because they wanted people to pay off their credit cards every month. The rich can do that, or the wealthy can do that. But what happens is, the little guy who's budgeting week to week, trying to make it, what is the little guy, 80% of America? What happens, let's say in your little household budget, you got $300 budgeted for your credit cards every month. Let's say on an average month, gasoline, maybe groceries, et cetera, movies, whatever you might put on your credit card, and you figure that to be $300. Suddenly, your transmission goes out, and they tell you that's $2,200. So all of a sudden, your $300 is not going to cover the new transmission, so you're going to have to carry over $1,800 or so towards the next month. And then, of course, what always happens is in January, it's your transmission. In February, whatever, someone falls off a bike and they got to have $3,500 worth of braces or tooth repair, whatever, I don't know. And then the next month it's something else, and the next month, you know, there's a hole in the roof and there's $3,500, and all of a sudden it starts ballooning up on you. That's where they got you. Once you owe them big money, then they start screwing you. Listen to this. This is the bad guy speaking here. This is Donald Ogilvie, president and CEO of the American Bankers Association. Yeah. How long has it been since this guy had to scrape together on a budget? Because credit cards are the riskiest kind of loan a bank can make, fees, interest rates, and repayment terms reflect that risk. Bullshit. Every time you turn on a television, they're begging you, please borrow money from us. They're not in any trouble. They're trying to act like they're just barely getting by. But no. Check out a profit statement from somebody like Capital One or Bank of America. These guys are going crazy, making trillions of dollars. Those of us who manage our overall debt responsibly, see, the guy who blew his transmission or his kid fell off the bike or who needs a new roof, he's being irresponsible. This is one of the big things the Republicans do. If you have bad luck, well, you need to knock that off. If you have a problem, you should not do that. There's a couple of examples here. The anti-Bush argument that the USA Today put together kind of went like this. It's called squeezing consumers. By the time some debtors end up in court, they may have already paid more money than they originally borrowed. Take Ruth Owens of Cleveland. In 1997, she started trying to pay off a $2,000 balance on her Discover card. 6 years later, she had paid $3,500 instead of $2,000, yet her balance, pumped up by fees and interest, had grown to more than $5,500. Bottom line, she borrowed $2,000, they got her hooks in her for $9,000. You borrow $2,000 and you pay back $9,000. You can get a better deal from the mob. Discover sued, but last year a Cleveland judge rejected its collection demand, saying Owen was the victim of unreasonable, unconscionable practices. Discover said Thursday that the judge's ruling was inconsistent with the law. But guess what? The law as written allows Discover to make $9,000, they allow Discover to collect $9,000 from you on a $2,000 debt. That's what it is now, $2,000 turning into $9,000, and they're screaming about how they can't make it. They turn $2,000 into $9,000, poor them. But the way this new law works, I heard them talk about it on Air America yesterday. This new law prevents a judge from getting involved. If you're in some bad situation where you owe $30,000, a judge might be able to stick his head in and say, well, tell you what, I've looked at all sides of the equation here. You're going to have to pay back $10,000, give him $100 a month, whatever it takes, but you're only going to have to pay back $10 of the $30. And remember now, the banks, they're making all kinds of money. They're drowning in money. They're just screaming rich, and they want more. But this new law is going to prevent the judge from getting involved. So, God forbid, what are you going to do if, say this, say you owe the $30,000 and then you have the heart attack. Now you owe $300,000. You owe $300,000, you're not going to ever be able to pay that back. They're going to garnish your wages. And the bottom line here we're talking about is suicide. If every time you make $1,000, the bank's going to take $400 or $500 of it, and in between rent and food, you don't have a dime left, and you just don't want to go the next 40 or 50 years without anything. You know, a pack of gum becomes a luxury. Spending 75 cents on a Coke is going to be out of your reach, and we're going to have a nation full of this once they push this bankruptcy law through. To hear the rebuttal now from the credit companies, so what has changed? People today are taking on more debt, often in the form of home equity and auto loans. Consumers, however, are still in control. Yeah, the little consumers got Chase Manhattan over a barrel. Believe that all day. They can still eliminate late fees and manage the interest rates on their credit cards by paying on time. So you people without money, just knock it the fuck off and you'll be okay. When your kid starts to fall off a bike, tell them to knock it off. When your roof starts leaking, tell the rain to knock it off. It's that easy. When your transmission falls out in the fucking road, tell your transmission to knock it off. And when you have that big heart attack and you owe the, or anything, hell, you could have, everybody's aware of the hospital horror stories, but if you have that heart attack and it's $300,000, just tell the heart attack, I don't have time for you today, I can't afford it. That's the government's answer to everything, as long as it's being run by a heartless oil bastard. It doesn't get any better. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You know, one thing the Democrats could do, and it's so easy, like I'm always saying, it's so fucking easy, but they just refuse to do it. If nothing else, why don't the Democrats, every time they open their mouth, why don't they say something like, people, you have to understand the country is undergoing radical changes. Now, you might agree with the Republicans that these radical changes are good, but you might not. But at least understand, America is changing very, very much, very, very fast. Whatever you think America is about, it's no longer about that. We've got a new America, and it's sudden, and it's swift, and it's harsh, and you better get used to it. At least, if the Democrats could at least explain to people that things are changing radically. If they could get that idea across. But no, they're too stupid, they're too shy, they're too afraid to piss off Karl Rove, so they won't even bring up the subject. If you just would look at that on paper, America is changing very quickly. You think, you know, that might even grab your attention. You might think, oh, really? Big changes? What is this about? And then when you might look at this, problem after problem, they're going to just stick it to you, and they're sticking it harder and harder. Another thing about this bankruptcy bill they're pushing through, if you're super rich, it's loaded with loopholes. It is loaded with loopholes if you're super rich. Say you're like Kenny Boy of Enron, Bush's good friend. Say you amass, if you can get $50 million in the bank, but then you have to file bankruptcy because you owe $400 million, guess what? Tons of loopholes. You're off the hook. You get to keep your $30 million, and that $400 million that you stole from those people, that's okay. But if you're a little guy, if you owe $30,000 or if you owe $50,000, you're stuck. You're not off the hook. Once again, the rich get off the hook. The rich get all the perks. But the little guy, which is 80-90% of America, they're getting screwed to death. Nobody says anything. The media and the Democrats, they're going along with this. Why the hell doesn't somebody say something? If we could just get people to understand that America is changing. America is not like it was in 1999. It's all new. Everything is different. All the rules have changed, and if you can't keep up with the rules, you may find out at the wrong time, and boy, your ass is going to be in a sorry position then. Letter and a big check from a guy in Canada. We'll call him Jonathan. Thing is, it's a big check, but you know that Canadian money is different. You know how, like, you go to Italy and you buy a newspaper for 700,000 lira? Well, I don't know how much. It sure looks like a lot of money, and I hope it is. I guess I'll take it to the bank and find out. But he sent a letter, too. I'd like to read it. Here it go. March 1st. It arrived on March 9th. Bart, as a regular reader of your work, I would like to contribute something back. I am not in agreement with you on more than a few things, which I like a letter like that. But that means very little, really. The absolute and prideful idealism some flaunt when they boldly accuse you of moral failure is laughable, but very human. Any who can overlook great catastrophe while nitpicking and undermining the strength of those trying to prevent said catastrophe are agents, willing or not, of the catastrophe. Next time someone writes that they no longer support you because of your differences with their opinions, you need to ask, do you think you have accomplished anything? Do you think the resident primate or his coattails will pay the slightest attention to your preening letters? When I and the others who do not just talk but act are gone, who will you write to then? That said, I want to encourage you by all means not to let such stupidity get you down. There are a lot of us out here who are richer and have laughed more every day for a long time because of your tireless work. Your frank and cutting rebuttals to the assails coming from all sides, both large and small, are very good. I often print or save on an article or news story from barcup.com, mainly because I love your comments. A very nice recent example would be the comment about Bush et al. And Social Security. You can't really blame Bush for stealing all that money, what with everyone awkwardly staring at their shoes, pretending business as usual. Yeah, that's very true. What are you going to say about today's Democrats?
Pardon me, sir. I have your balls right here.
Keep fighting and keep your chin up. You inspire others to fight and do something, and the same faction of the world can always use more heroic fighters. Keep fighting and keep your chin up. You inspire others to fight and do something, and the sane faction of the world can always use more heroic fighters. I'll be watching and waiting for more of your wonderful work, wishing you the very best, Jonathan. P.S. Hope that you're able to convert Canadian dollars without too much trouble. If it's a big issue, I am happy to send a money order or the like. Well, no, it's not a big issue to me. A check this size, I'm going to drive right over to the bank and put it in the bank, and they'll probably send me a little notice in a couple of days saying that instead of that amount, they have instead credited me with this amount. But hey, any contribution helps. It's the beach has a lot of sand on it, whatever that means. But thanks for that letter, Jonathan.
I do want to get to a more serious issue. We've been hearing a lot about rising tensions, escalating violence. I do have some good news to share with everybody.
Rapper 50 Cent and The Game are publicly squashing their differences and teaming up to set an example for the hip-hop community.
They just pimped my day. It's over, people! 50 Cent and The Game have ended their feud. Stunning observers, that's The Game there, and shifting the balance of power in Posse World. Or Posse World? You know, I was like everybody else. When Game left G-Unit, you know, I thought, it's on. And it wasn't just me saying that. That was, in fact, from what I understand, the 411. All I'm saying is this. If 50 and Game... The Game, not a game, The Game, can resolve their differences. Maybe there really is chance for Pazist in the mid-deceased. Who looks more awkward with that kind of talk than little Whitey McWhitington?
George W. Bush, straight talker. Take a look.
And that's so. I hope you've come away with a better understanding of the importance of this issue.
you'd imagine the massive show of pro-occupation fervor had White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan simpering through his talking points.
We hope the Lebanese people will be able to express their view at the ballot box through free elections without outside interference and outside intimidation.
No outside interference, no outside intimidation. That sounds fair. You wouldn't want an overly warlike foreign leader to stick their nose in and in any way.
All Syrian military forces and intelligence personnel must withdraw before the Lebanese elections.
I really think their foreign policy goal is to spread irony throughout the world.
Well, I know why you're happy tonight. Martha Stewart is back on the streets. And I think the question is, will she kill again? But no, apparently she's out, and she said prison was a life-altering and life-affirming experience. Apparently jail is the new rehab. Have you noticed that? She said prison has been good. It gave her a new money-making idea. She got a new TV show, a new line of linens, and she said she wants to...
It's true.
And she wants to drag Star Jones into her tricked-out caddy and, quote, turn the bitch out.
Martha Stewart, public enemy number 752, was released from prison last Friday and has apparently been on television ever since. She is now under house arrest at her estate in New York's Westchester County. We go now to Samantha Bee, live outside of Martha Stewart's house. Samantha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. Camped out here since Martha Stewart entered her house on Friday. If anything happens, I'm going to let you know.
Has anything happened?
Yes, John. Take a look at this shocking footage our cameras were able to capture just moments ago. I don't know where she's going, and I can't see her feet, so I can't even tell you if she's in heels or flats. Might be slippers. I'll keep you posted.
Why are you pointing your cameras into the woman's living room? That's intrusive, no?
I don't know, John. But perhaps Rob Corddry has some insight. He's standing by in the Daily Show Martha Center 2600.
The Martha what?
The Martha Center 2600, John. This will be our home base of operations during the entire house arrest. I'll be reviewing the footage taken by our fiber optic cameras, analyzing the thermal scans to pinpoint Martha's locations at all times, and sifting through the data collected by the Martha Stewart colonoscope. John, that's assuming, of course, that we can get it installed. Now, John, in that footage you just saw, Martha passed by this windowed area here, obviously going from one side to the other. Perhaps there was something on the other end of the room she needed, a whisk, or some polished gravel in a frosted vase, or perhaps a set of bleached beeswax jelly jar candles. I don't know. It's too early to tell, John.
Rob, aren't you supposed to be in Lebanon?
John, did you know for the price of a flight to Lebanon, you can get a whole Martha Center 2600? Yeah, or a two Martha Center 1300s. John, so easy. And all you need...
Sorry, Rob. I've got some breaking news. I've just gotten word that the situation inside is developing. Let's go to our live feed and see what's happening. Okay, looks like she's crossing back, and we have lost visual. I repeat, we have lost visual. We are at code vermilion. Mother Swan is on the move.
Get me position alpha on screen. Position alpha on screen. Stat. Green team. I need parabolics around the perimeter. Go.
The mother swan is on the move. Chopper 10, go. Newsman, go. Baby bird has left the nest. The groundhog is estimating. The groundhog is estimating.
Okay, where are we, people? If I can't have visual, give me some audio. Pronto, go! Go, 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 go! What? We have a wide shot on screen. Okay. Stand down, people. Condition normalized. Nice work, everybody. Good work. Good work. So, John, you can see the drills have paid off. We're going to be right on top of this thing for the next 5 months.
Well, thank you both very much. Samantha Bee and Rob Corddry. We appreciate it.
President Bush's Social Security plan seems to be in trouble, and the Republicans are angry because they're saying everyone's attacking it, and it's still a work in progress. They said, of course, it's not clear what the solution is. We're still busy inventing the problem. And to make matters worse, this week, Alan Greenspan, our Fed chairman, said that Bush's budget is such a mess that we're going to have to either cut spending, raise taxes, or start a national sales tax. You know what that means? War with Syria.
Be sure to tune in this weekend, After Hours, for the latest installment of my new, highly unethical series, Confession Booth Confessions. Go on, my child.
Well, it was a really hot night, and the air conditioner at the sorority house was broken.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Amanda and I just wanted to cool off.
Who could blame you?
So we started making daiquiris.
Uh-huh.
Because they just feel so good going down your throat.
Right, can't even taste the alcohol. She needs some forgiveness.
New rule. After the plane lands, airlines must stop saying, "Thank you for choosing us." There is no choosing anymore. I took the only flight that left within 8 hours of when I wanted to go by the only other airline that went there. Choosing. Nobody chooses Southwest. Southwest chooses you. If I need to be in Spokane, Washington by tomorrow morning, I either take the flight I'm given or I mail myself in a FedEx box. New rule. Talentless teenagers who exist to amuse us must keep up in the battle to be the dippiest twin. It's been over a week since Paris Hilton's topless cell phone pictures ended up on the internet. Isn't it about time Britney Spears did something trashy? Come on, honey, use your imagination. I don't know, let the wind blow your pants off, or have a miscarriage in a liquor store, or get a divorce from Butthead. The ball's in your trailer court.
I'm not
arguing it. New rule. Stop giving me that pop-up ad for classmates.com. There's a reason you don't talk to people for 25 years. Because you don't particularly like them. Besides, I already know what the captain of the football team is doing these days. Mowing my lawn. And finally, new rule. Just because you've got a job for life doesn't mean you have to do it for life. It's well and proper that we venerate our elders, but give it a freaking rest. To everything, there is a season. Turn, turn, turn. A time to reap, a time to sow, and a time to pack it in, put on a house coat, and fall asleep in front of the Golf Channel. Now, I know it must be hard to give up your job when your job is literally sitting on a throne or being on a Supreme Court or keeping women out of your priesthood to make room for the gays. But But at some point, it starts to look like you think of yourself as indispensable, and no one is indispensable, including you, Mr. Infallible. I don't want to say the Pope is out of it, but last week he said 2 Our Fathers and 3 Proud Marys. And Queen Elizabeth, your son has been waiting so long to be king, even his mistress is a senior citizen. What? Queen for 53 years, that's a good run. Second only to cats. But now it's time to kick off those royal slippers, smell the English roses, and spend some time with those Nazi grandkids. In conclusion, there is a reason that names like Cary Grant, Joe DiMaggio, Johnny Carson inspire a special kind of awe, because they all did something that made them more beloved than anyone else. They left. They left. They didn't make us all pretend to yawn to get them to leave the party. They looked around, as all of us will someday, and said, I've done my part, I've said my piece, and I'm finally deaf enough to stand being home all day with my spouse.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it. Show 70. Sorry about the language. Sometimes when we get a little passionate about something, the mouth overrides the brain. But you can tell it wasn't faked. Nothing but the truth. Coming from the Big Hammer right here in K-Drag, Oklahoma. So tell you what, I'll get to work on Show 71. All praise to Tommy Mac, but more praise to you, the listener, the subscriber, helping to keep us afloat with your subscriptions and your now and then checks in the mail. We're going to hang together if we're going to make it through the next 4 years of this Nazi bastard who's taken over our government. He's doing so much to hurt this country. All we can do is fight back. I'm tired of people laying down. I'm tired of the Democrats surrendering. If we don't fight back, we got nothing left, and I'm not ready to give up. Thanks again for sticking with me. I'll see you again in Show 71. Appreciate you reading the page. Appreciate you subscribing. This is Barton, Oklahoma. I'm out of here.
Looking to the sea.